Welcome to the Shared Desk, episode 76. Well, hey everybody, it's once again time for the Shared Desk. I am your host, T. Morris. Now, you're going to notice an absence of Pip and an absence of drop-ins in this opening of episode 76. That's because we decided, Pip and I, to sit down with a special guest we've never had on the show, but we've mentioned before, and we are thrilled that she could join us. Her name is Mary Catherine Backstrom, or MK, and she is a friend from the Smoky Writers Retreat. We met her this year, fell in love with her, and we've been itching for a reason to get her on the show, and we mentioned that we were going to be talking about the writerly aspects of Wonder Woman. She said, we should turn that into a podcast, and sure enough, we got her on the show. So here we go with episode 76, Wonder Woman from a writerly perspective. So as promised, we are talking right now with another one of our Smoky Mountain Writer alumni.
Oh, Mafia.
Or Mafia, whatever you want to call us, because we're out there in the shadows, writing away, taking over the world one word at a time. So mystery guest, sign in and introduce yourself.
Hi, I believe I am signed in because I am decidedly untechy, but I am here, and my name is Mary Catherine Backstrom, and I am a writer at Mom Babble and staff writer at Scary Mommy, and I am so excited to be here.
Yay! And what is the URL of those two blogs?
Oh, mombabble.com, scarymommy.com.
I love Scary Mommy.
Yeah.
It's
one of my favorites.
I love them, too.
I saw the t-shirt from Scary Mommy, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
I have swag, and I am feeling really cool about it.
Oh, yay. Well, you know what? I might have to impose on our friendship and have you get some Scary Mommy swag for Pip.
That's imposition. I can mail that to you, but I think you live far away, so you have to pay shipping.
We'll cope. We'll cope. So we're talking about Wonder Woman, and I think it is fair that I'm the odd man out.
You're the minority. We allowed you to be here.
Okay, so we've all seen Wonder Woman, and we also need a quick. We don't have to name kids by name here, but MK, what?
Yeah.
You have how many?
She's got two.
You got two kids, right?
I have two. I have two two-legged children. We have multiple furry kids around the property. Yeah, but yes, the ones that I feed human food are Ben, who is 3 years old, and Holland, who is 15 months old. I have a boy and a girl.
The most adorable fashion model I have ever seen.
Well, I think she might be the only girl we get, so I feel like I have a
girl. Okay, so it's your littlest,
yes.
Who is the girl.
Yes.
And the
yes,
older one.
My little
the older
bitty.
One, okay, so when you went to go see Wonder Woman, did you go with the fam or did you go with friends? What was the game plan there?
I went with my husband, my giddy, excited husband.
That's
yeah.
Great. Okay.
That's all right. I went with mine.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, actually it was the three of us. It was me, Pip and the Boom. And
she's 12.
And she's 12.
Nearly 13.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Now keep in mind, we've been doing the whole nerd family thing and to give you the idea of the wisdom of the youths. after we walked out of Batman versus Superman, Boom said, "Batman versus Superman. Not a lot of Batman versus Superman."
Which pretty much encapsulates that movie.
You're doing a good job with that one.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
she loved Wonder Woman much, much more. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah. No, no kidding. She absolutely adored it. Now, as far as spoilerific stuff, I think we should go on ahead and say if you don't want to be spoiled by with Wonder Woman by the time this
drops, you should be watching it.
You should be watching it first off. You should have seen it
go
by
right
now.
Go now.
But just stop the podcast, go right now, and then come back. We are going to be dropping some spoilers. So let's start with our guest. MK, what were your thoughts on Wonder Woman?
I was really shocked at how emotional my response was to that movie. I went in expected to be entertained, and I think it took me about 15 minutes, and I was choked up. And I looked at my husband and said, "What is happening here? This is not what I expected." And I, I grew up dressing up as Wonder Woman. She was always my favorite superhero. When I was 5 years old, I had a Wonder Woman birthday party. Uh-huh. But I wasn't I didn't read it a lot. You know, I didn't follow the comics. And so I just jumped into it expecting to be entertained. And I was blown away at how emotional my response was to seeing myself represented in the big screen as a female superhero who just kicked ass and did not apologize for it.
Yeah, I think
it was so great.
There's been two movies that have done that for me. For me, Moana, I like seeing the Polynesian because I'm from New Zealand.
Yes.
The South Pacific drums and all of that. That choked me up.
That choked me up.
And then Wonder Woman. I mean, the scene where she reveals herself as Wonder Woman and she crosses into no man's land.
Oh, stop. I have chills and I'm not even ready for it.
Oh. Well, you see, now this... this Saturday... kind of foreshadowing. I'm going to be speaking this Friday at AwesomeCon. I'm doing...
fun!
Yeah, I'm doing my talk, The Big Score, The Evolution of the Science Fiction Soundtrack, and I was looking through it, going, I have got to work Wonder Woman in here somewhere.
Yeah,
because
I love the soundtrack.
Yeah, the score of Wonder Woman from the get go, from the opening scene. Am I pronouncing right? Themyscira.
Themyscira, right?
Yeah, I think so. Themyscira. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
It's just breathtaking. It's an absolutely breathtaking score. Mm-hmm. But
and then they pound with the electric guitar.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, ooh,
yeah, it's very nice. It's very nice.
Sick guitar licks right there.
Really cool. So all right, so let's start at the beginning. I'm kind of using as a basis for this talk. The blog post that I had recently, which you can find at tmorris.com. Which was four lessons that writers can take away from watching Wonder Woman. The first thing I want to get off my chest, now I'm probably the oldest of everybody here.
Yes.
So I remember when Wonder Woman first aired with Linda Carter.
Did you have strange feelings?
So I have to share this story. I actually met Linda Carter backstage.
Stop it.
No. And she still looks just, in my opinion, up close and personal, she looks just as good as she did back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Because she's an Amazon.
That's right. They age very well.
No kidding. So and this may shock the both of you. This was the first and one of the few times in my life that I was rendered speechless.
Oh. It happens?
It did.
There's a way to do that?
What happened was it turned out that the woman that wrote the play that I was in, her sister-in-law is Linda Carter. And she said,
so cool.
and I mentioned to her, I said, wow, I had the biggest crush on Linda Carter. I was a huge fan of Wonder Woman. She was like, well, you're, no, I said, no, I didn't have a crush necessarily on Linda Carter. I had a crush on Wonder Woman. I met her. And then backstage, right after the show, she runs up to me, she says, T, come here. And it was just me and her. She said, T, this is Linda. And she just smiled. She did a smile. Her eyes lit up. And
I can
she
just
went,
imagine.
Hi, I'm Linda. And I just kind of stared. I just stared at her.
G-g-b-g-g-b-g-b-g.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And I said, I'm sorry, but I've had a crush on you for decades. And she said, let me guess, you had my poster over your bed. I was like, yes. But she thought I had that poster of her where she's wearing the Daisy Dukes. And she's got the, that wasn't the one I had. The one I had was of her in full Wonder Woman regalia, including the cape.
Yeah.
And along the bottom, there was a Wonder Woman comic strip. That was the poster in my room.
Now I'm going to bounce off that idea while you recover yourself just on the sheer memory of it.
Touch my pearls and just fan myself.
Because I'm saying, I mean, I loved that Wonder Woman show as well when I was a kid. I don't know how old I was when I watched it, but the difference between that and the Wonder Woman movie is the Wonder Woman movie is not necessarily made for the male gaze, and you can really, really feel it.
Well, it depends on... Yeah.
There is no...
Well, actually... No.
I'm going to hit you with a pen in the
eye.
I'm so far away. I'm safe. I will do two. One for me, one for MK.
So...
I mean, there are some beautiful scenes where she's wearing a beautiful blue gown with a sword slung in the back, of course. But you don't get the feeling that she's being ogled or that the camera is trying to turn her into a sex object in a particular way. She's badass. And she's and she's got wonderful legs.
Yes.
Because she's fighting and she's also a Greek goddess. But
well, let's go to the writing here, because there was a moment in the movie that I felt like stood out. And I can't even criticize this movie, but if I am going to be critical, there was one line that I felt was a little out of place. It didn't seem to be written by a female to me.
Well, it wasn't written by a female.
Do you know which one it was?
Was it the one about most beautiful woman or something like that? Or?
I think it was like, I am amazed and I am also aroused.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, the writing team on this was all men.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
But the director is female.
That's decidedly, well, that line to me stood out as a little bit countercultural to the rest of the whole feel of the movie.
Well, it kind of suited the World War One era. They probably would have said that. But
it also suited that character.
Yeah,
it did suit the character.
It was the suave Moroccan.
Yeah. So while the writers are in charge of writing, the director is in charge of presenting that writing. And I think the way that Patty Jenkins, I think, was the
director. That was the director.
Presented it was really good. But
so I'm going to counter the counter by saying that... all right, so you're right. It was not necessarily designed for eye candy. But see, again, I'm the odd Thomas, and it's kind
of you are a Thomas.
I am a Thomas, and I'm odd because I remember when Terminator 2 came out, and everybody thought, "Wow, Linda Hamilton, she kicked ass in that movie." And I was thinking, "Wow, Linda Hamilton is hot." And the specific scene, the second one. The second one, when she's doing the pull-ups, and then she's got the hair. Good morning, doctor. How's the knee? I think it was
Is that because you're drawn to strong women? Though?
Yes, as you note with my darling wife. But I mean, Gal Gadot, and I'll also double down on that. I think Robin Wright is a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
But she has never looked as good
riding a horse into
battle.
Shooting three arrows.
At the
same
time, leaping and shooting three arrows at the same time. I'm just gonna say it. I was highly aroused.
You should know one thing, MK, that is that T likes the older women. He's a big fan of Helen Mirren.
That's fantastic.
Judy Dench. I mean, you know.
Sheree Agadushlu.
Yeah.
Sheree Agadushlu.
So, you know.
Giving me names to Google. I don't even know who this is.
But he.
Watch The Expanse. Look for the person that's running the UN. You'll see her.
Yes.
You'll know her by her voice.
Oh, yes.
But yes, you're absolutely right. The whole eye candy thing, you're absolutely right. There was not, there is an infamous gif that is going around the internet of Linda Carter from the Wonder Woman days running.
Yeah.
Many boys became men on seeing Linda Carter run as Wonder Woman. And you didn't have that. But going back to the TV show, the point that
she had more support this time around.
She had a lot more support. First off, that was armor, not an outfit she was wearing. But the biggest thing from writing wise, and I've been getting a little under hot under the collar about some of the blog posts that have come out against him even being in the film. But Steve Trevor.
Oh, he was fantastic.
I liked Chris Pine more and he was better written for Steve Trevor than he was for Captain Kirk.
Oh, you think so? I felt like it was the same personality.
Because Kirk...
He does intend to play a type.
Yes, but Kirk would never say, I'm above average. Kirk would be like, I am the perfect specimen of a human being. Thank you. But the other thing that Kirk isn't, that Steve Trevor was, that Chris Pine, I didn't think he could play it, but the longer you go into, the deeper you get into Wonder Woman, the more broken Steve Trevor is. And you see it. And there's since we're talking about different lines, and again, I would never picture men writing dialogue this good, even for men, was when they're dancing in the snow. And he's talking about all the things that people do during peacetime.
Oh, I know. Oh, stop. I know.
And she says, is this what people do in normal times?
I don't know.
And he says, I honestly don't know. Or I think he says, I have no idea.
I have no idea. He's been in the World War One. I mean, that's been going on for a very long time at this
point. We're going to get to that.
So he could have been 18 when he came in. I mean, you know.
But not Americans. Not the Americans, though.
No, but
we relate to the party in that.
Well, no, there were Americans that went and fought for the British or joined the Canadian troops.
That's true.
And fought. That's true. So there were. It's not like there were no Americans around.
No, but I felt that finally Steve Trevor had agency. Mm. Because he pissed me off so much during the Wonder Woman TV series. I was like, who is this Nimrod?
Why is he getting in Wonder Woman's way?
He's got fabulous hair and he's got great teeth. Fantastic. But I mean,
it's really funny. I don't know how I stumbled into this podcast, because here I am and I don't have a basis of comparison for Steve Trevor. So he is my Steve Trevor.
That's great.
And I'm so glad that he's the standard bearer, because I felt like he was perfect.
Yes. Yeah, he was.
I mean, some people have complained on the internet. I mean, people, that's what the people do.
What are
the
complaints? Is it the writing or is it the acting?
Well, no, there's been some complaints. Some people have said there's too much Steve Trevor. And I'm like,
You can't have, it's like having Clark, it's like having Clark Kent without Lois Lane.
It is.
You got to have Lois, but the difference is, going back, again, back to the writing, Lois Lane, her job.
Oh, I've never been able to stand Lois
her
Lane.
Her job in the Superman
Concur.
Films.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's supposed
just
to. She's there to get into trouble.
She's just there to put a spoke in the wheel. So.
In the middle of the boss fight of Batman versus Superman, Superman's like, hey guys, I gotta drop everything because I can hear Lois drowning in the building next door. I'll be right back. You got this?
And everybody, you can just feel like everyone like rolls their eyes and goes,
no, no,
yeah.
No, Diana's going, we're cool, Clark. I got this.
Yeah. She's, you know what she's actually thinking is, well, yeah, I used to have somebody like that, but.
Oh, damn.
No, but, no. She, you know, like, MK's right. The he's what I really like about the way they did Steve Trevor is that he is not trying to take away her agency.
No.
And he, like, in the final battle, he realizes, oh, she's got to go and deal with this, and I've got. If I'd go over there and try and insert myself in that confrontation she's having, I'm just going to get in the way.
I'm trying to think of a single time in which he tried to actually stop her. Mm. Like, I don't think he ever physically attempted to.
He did try to, like, and this is understandable. He's a soldier that's been in this war for years and years and years. And she tries to do something and he's like, hold on, you can't go into no man's land. That scene.
Yeah. Well, sure.
So he's not mansplaining her. He's trying to impart information that he knows she doesn't have.
There was also a delightful moment when he tries to push her back so that she won't be in the way of the gun. And he goes, Diana, get back. And then she sticks her arm out and basically deflects the bullet for the first time with her bracelets. And he goes, or maybe not. And I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, Chris Pine, but now I will say this is something that Chris Pine does extremely well. He's charming as hell.
Oh, yeah. He was.
So,
yes, he is. He's self-deprecating.
Mm. Exactly. And, you know, when he was playing the prince, I mean, no one else could play the prince like Chris Pine in Into the Woods. I mean, I was like, that's great casting right there. Mm. And the same thing with Star Trek. And now we have him here. And that's the thing I was worried about. I was like, okay, we're going to get the overly, you know, great teeth.
Stand back, pretty lady.
Yeah. And I never got that from Steve Trevor. So, props for the writing of Trevor. Now,
it's a fine line to try and make somebody.
It was perfectly written, I felt like.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a moment where he took away from her.
Right.
And they were two different characters on parallel journeys that were symbiotic, and they fed each other's stories. And I just thought it was beautiful.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit more about Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. I mean, your thoughts on how was she written, even though men were putting words in her mouth. I mean, it's at the core. I mean, you can have great performers and you can have great directors, but at the core, you've got to have really good writing. So how was not just Diana, but the other Amazons, Themyscira, how did you feel that they were written?
I could have spent another hour on that island.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. After I got out, like, there was some mansplaining stuff going on Facebook, and I was like, I just want to go back with Themyscira.
Can we please?
Shoot those arrows.
The scene, what I loved, is a scene of warriors completely absent of men.
Yeah.
And a little girl watching and mimicking her heroes, and it was such a beautiful moment. That's the first time I choked up in the film, one of 18,000 times.
I love that little girl. I love it when Hippolyta is going, this is not for you, and the look on her face is, screw that, Mom, that's going to be mine.
Try again, Mom.
Yeah.
Everybody knew it's in that little girl's face.
Yeah.
But
meanwhile, Princess Buttercup is giving her lessons in the dead of night.
This is Buttercup's redemption story.
Yes.
No, her redemption story is House of Cards.
I mean, I have not seen.
Let me see.
Do not
if I can
go into House of Cards territory, T.
No,
you
I'm not.
You can't.
I'm going into Robin Wright territory. It's real simple. So basically,
you could also be there for hours.
Yes, I could. So just take all the badassery. Okay, take all the fierceness of. And I can never remember the general's name.
Antiope.
Oh, let's go with Antiope.
Antiope.
It sounds more Greek.
Greek.
Guys, I've got a confession. The Alabamian in me thought it was Auntie. Like, she's obviously her aunt.
Well, there you go.
Auntie P.
So either way, all three of us are wrong.
Let's just say
the general and not the one that sells car insurance. Okay, so the general. So we got the general, right? Now take all that fierceness, the three arrows and the battle cries, and then bottle that up. Just bottle it up, and then just have it coming out verbally, controlled, and calculated, and cold. That is Claire Underwood
in
House of Cards.
She plays good, fierce characters now.
She really does.
I think that can happen with a lot of women. They start off all softest and light, and they're just like, I'm going to get fierce.
So she was
well cast, but I don't know that there's an actress that would have done poorly with that writing, because the whole first third of that movie was just beautifully written.
It was also beautifully shot as well. I mean, beautifully written, beautifully shot. And I know that Pip and I looked this up on IMDb. The woman playing Hippolyta was actually she was the sister to Joaquin Phoenix in Gladiator. So if she looked familiar, that's where she was from. She's wonderful in Gladiator as well. And it took me a while, but then when I was like, oh, I put it together. Another great unsung hero, I think, of that movie was the secretary.
Oh,
she was delightful. Yeah, she was delightful. She was absolutely delightful in London.
Can I say,
as a female, I really appreciated that she wasn't the dumpy character.
Yes.
I feel like every woman that has a voluptuous figure in Hollywood is written as a fat joke, and it is the most frustrating thing. But she, and I expected it, and this is like, I felt like this movie continuously busted every expectation I had of every character arc. I was waiting for Wonder Woman to come with some back damage story that was going to make her need Steve to prop her up, and I was just waiting for that disappointment. And then I was waiting, when that character was introduced, I was like, oh, she's delightful. They're going to embarrass her by making a fat joke. I'm just waiting for this. And every single time they came through, it was like beautifully written.
Yeah.
She was powerful because of her wit and her intelligence, and she had her own role in the movie. I just felt like the whole thing from start to finish was... it was busting every expectation I had to be disappointed.
Yeah. She came round to the alleyway at the end. She had the sword.
Yeah.
She was ready to go. She was ready.
And I'll tell you something else too that we were talking about times where we were getting choked up in the movie. I don't mind saying it. I got really choked up in the Trafalgar Square scene.
Oh yeah, the last bit.
Yeah. I mean, because I kept thinking through the whole thing. I kept thinking, Steve is broken. He just feels he when you hear him talk about the people around him, and you feel the impact of World War I on him, and then when you look at that little band of people,
and
it's like Steve touched each and one of these people, and one of them is a Greek goddess, and then they huddled around the photograph. I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to lose it right now.
World War I broke a lot of people physically and mentally. So people don't really, because it's further away than World War II, we don't really understand that in a way that a personal way.
Now that's another thing that I think I will say this, MK, I'm a little envious of you, because see, I've went through the World War II renditions of Wonder Woman, the modern day renditions of Wonder Woman. And when I heard that they were setting this in World War I, I'm like, why'd they do that? And after I walked out, I was like, oh, that's why. Mm-hmm. Because that was a stroke of writing genius to say, we're not doing World War II, we're doing World War I.
And that was the director's first pitch that got declined.
Oh,
which
really?
Is ridiculous because
10 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, well, then a little movie came out called Captain America, and they were probably like, "Oh, okay, yeah."
Oh, perhaps this could work. Perhaps,
perhaps. But because I mean, it was the First World War where it was really a mechanical war with yeah. tanks
right.
and mustard gas and all those.
I mean, they had bad things in the. In the American Civil War, sure, but not to the extent.
This was different.
Yeah.
The amount of damage you could do from afar. Revisiting that scene that you were mentioning is one of the ones that just wrecked you. I thought that there was some powerful symbolism in the fact that they didn't initially pan in. Like, there were all these people standing around the photos of late soldiers. Mm-hmm. And it took a minute for you to actually see Steve's face. And I felt like that was very representative of the fact that everybody on that board had a big backstory.
Yeah.
And we were all looking
mm-hmm.
at one. And it just increased the devastation and the... You know, I felt like it was very symbolic of the loss.
They shot it really yeah. nicely. Apparently, little nugget of information, the pictures around Steve's picture were actual soldiers from World War I that they included
God.
In the shot.
Of course they were.
Of course they were. So, and you see, the thing is, I'm starting to find out more, because I'm married to someone of the Commonwealth, I'm learning a hell of a lot more about World War I than I ever knew in high school. I mean, high school is like, yeah, there was a World War I. It happened here and here. We got in late and, you know, and just, we got Cliff Notes versions. Mm-hmm. And then I remember.
Right, we did too.
Yeah, but when I was driving with Pip through the South Island, I said, well, what's that? She's like, that's a World War I memorial.
Yeah, every little town in New Zealand, no matter how big it is or small it is, has mm-hmm. a World War I memorial because we lost the most people per
yeah,
head
surely.
Of population.
They had,
wow. And in fact, my my grandmother's uncle died in the first day of the Battle of the Somme, which was the first day that they brought out tanks.
Yeah.
So,
and that was
you know, you don't learn as much about it due to the horrific evils that were unleashed in World War II. Mm-hmm. So much history lessons are focused on that. That I feel like World War I was underrepresented in my.
It was a footnote.
There were horrible things done. But the thing
that made that work so well in Wonder Woman was that. And they depict it, you know. I mean, Hippolyta is telling Diana all these lovely bedtime stories about, you know, the horrors of war, but it was supposed to be heroic. And mm-hmm. even she was saying, oh, yes, you know, Zeus knocked down Ares and et cetera, et cetera. But the thing was,
it was a
fantasy. It was glamorized. And then she's walking
right.
through the trenches and Diana's looking around going, this is not the way
she
it was explained to
me. She first gets a hint
me.
Of it when she's in London and they're going to get on the
yeah.
boat. And coming
wow.
out are the people coming off
the,
out
the
of France.
People suffering from shell shock.
There were limbs missing.
And she's like, hang on a minute.
I just thought of something interesting.
Ooh, I wonder if it's the same thought I had.
Well,
you go
I'm thinking, historically speaking, World War I was when the world realized that using cavalry was a complete waste of time now because they just get mowed down by guns.
Right.
Think of
right.
the battle on the beach with the
yes.
guns and the Amazons. That's like a little hint of what's to lie ahead.
Yeah, but
it is. Oh, that's
true.
Foreshadowing. Mm-hmm.
True,
absolutely.
But I'm sorry. But Hippolyta.
Oh,
they still kicked ass.
They still did, but they lost people.
They did lose.
But
people.
But you had a sinking feeling when you saw that happening. You're like, oh, this isn't going to go well.
No.
Yeah.
When
exactly.
you saw the horses storm the beach, because it's like, oh, this is from another time. I was wondering. I feel like it's a bit of a social commentary on how war is promoted. Excuse me for getting political if this is against the podcast rules.
Go for it.
I feel like it's a bit of a social commentary on how glamorized war is even today.
Yeah.
And we've gone through how many, and still, when we're about to go into war, there's commercials. I mean, you would think, y'all, the commercials that are recruiting for the military look like dadgum previews
yeah.
for amazing movies. And I have many friends that signed up and went and thanked them for their service. But when they got there, and they'll tell you, it was not what they expected.
No. Not as advertised.
It's not as advertised, and someone should be getting their money back. But the truth is that for Diana this was such a culture shock, and then to think that the producers of the film, the studios wanted to pull the no man's land scene. I'm like,
oh my gosh, because they didn't understand it. That is so integral to
the
that
women
movie.
Women in the audience are crying, and the presumably the male
like,
producers
oh.
are going, what?
Yeah,
what is happening right now?
I'm like, what's happening now? You're seeing a superhero be born.
That's what you're seeing. You're like,
she is shaking off all of society's expectations.
Yeah,
and like I said, it is the counterpunch to every dream crushing blow that society has tried to deal women growing up in modern society. I felt like that scene. Yeah. If I could go and like just live one movie scene in my life, oh, it would be that.
And on top of that, you had Steve Trevor in the back saying,
"Oh, she's taking
guys. She's taking all the hit. Let's go." You know, I mean,
"I've got your back, girl."
Yeah, there you go.
But I was just when you were talking about Diana's entrance into the world. That is a well-known writing trope, is to take somebody that doesn't know anything about that society and use them as a lens from which the audience or the readers see things. And so it was almost like she was acting to a largely American audience who perhaps didn't know very much about World War One as the lens for them to get into that as well. I thought that was kind of just...
Well, that is fascinating.
And this goes back to something. This goes back to something I felt like Wonder Woman got right. That to some extent, Man of Steel, and to great extent, Batman versus Superman got horribly, horribly wrong. When you look at Wonder Woman on a whole, it's a very simple plot. It's a very simple story.
And that's okay.
There's nothing wrong with that. There was absolutely nothing wrong with that. Man of Steel was getting a little convoluted.
Yeah.
Because you had a whole lot of things happening at once. You know, you had Clark Kent's evolution into Superman. You had what was happening on Krypton. You had the aftermath of Krypton. But that wasn't as bad. But you could still track with it. It wasn't as bad as Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, where, okay.
Look, someone should not, film someone's first draft.
So,
I'm just saying.
No, honey. That was Iron Fist, okay? That's on Marvel.
Somebody needed to edit Batman versus Superman.
Somebody needs to edit the dude wearing the cape. Let's be real.
Well, for one.
Poor soul.
Yeah, because here's the thing that bugs me, and I'm going to mention this in my talk. If you do a search for Henry Cavill Superman, the only pictures of Henry Cavill smiling when he's Superman
are behind the scenes
and in between takes. Apart from that, he is brooding and he is scowling, and I can only assume
Superman is not supposed to be a dark character.
Yeah. No, he's not. But so this is what I said about Batman versus Superman in the blog post. I basically said Batman versus Superman started with a decent enough idea. Bruce Wayne witnesses the destruction of Metropolis and holds Superman responsible for the deaths of his fellow man. You would think that would be enough. But then we're introduced to some sort of black market arms deal that ties back somehow to the Joker. I'm sorry, to Lex Luthor. Then we get into weaponizing kryptonite, permission to muck about with Zod's corpse and wreckage of a Kryptonian ship. Then we meet Diana, a fresh breath of air. Then there's a picture. Yeah, a picture. She wants back, even though it's been digitized, so it's anyone's copies and how many are floating around the interwebs. Hold on, there's more. You got a gratuitous montage of all the other members of the Justice League. Oh, yeah, and Superman is appearing before Congress because reasons. And finally, Martha!
Reasons and Martha.
I mean, it was like True Detective Season 2 all over again.
But this was capes.
I mean, it was just an with capes.
So Wonder Woman in that way. Well, she was the only good thing about Batman.
There were two good things. Everyone's forgetting
the
second good thing.
Okay, find the other one.
The other one was that great scene in the warehouse where you see Batman do something heroic.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
And I kept leaning over to Pip, going, "I did that in the video game. I did that in the video game. I did that in the video game." But the thing is that they were trying to cram in so damn much into BVS. Yes.
Wonder Woman was a very nice streamlined plot towards the final goal, you know, but with some really nice humor, a little touches of humor, just to keep you going.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to remind you,
it was so much of a statement piece that I feel like you can go on it. You can take an emotional journey without too many plot lines. You know, that was primed to be an emotional journey for the majority of people watching. Yeah.
So
go ahead, T.
I was just going to say, so for both of you, I would ask you this: was it organically a symbolic piece, or did you at any time ever feel like it was heavy handed and trying to do girl power, or was there so much girl power in this movie you just didn't give two rats? It was working and it was working exceptionally well. What did you guys think?
That's a good question. You go first. Okay. It had to be organic because I went in with expectation of it being just a superhero movie, and I was so deeply moved. I feel like when we've got a bunch of people who are hungry for something, mm-hmm. and you give them the biggest freaking piece of cake ever, they're not going to complain that it's really big and it has too much icing and the ice cream is a little too much. They're just going to eat the damn cake and be happy about it. You know?
I love that analogy.
No, I mean, I don't. That was do it. I got the analogy bell. Yay! no, I feel like it was organic. I felt like, I mean, let's ask it. T, I hate to flip this on you, but do we ever ask if like Superman is too manly and too macho, and is it too much Supermaning going on?
You know what? In BVS, yes. I mean, in BVS,
what do you expect them to flip their dicks out and start beating each other with them?
Well,
that's the next step.
Kind of, yeah.
It looks like
that would have made a better movie.
Direction.
Especially
Iron
after
Man may do it.
Actually, if you saw Gone Girl. Ben Affleck already had one up on Henry
that's
Cavill,
right. Sorry,
pardon the pun.
Well, we don't know about Henry, but you know.
but again, but you see, that's the, that's what was bugging me, because there were probably one of the best moments of levity, probably one of the only moments of levity.
That was the only moment of levity.
In BVS.
Yeah.
Was when.
Oh, my son sent you.
Batman said, I'm a friend of your son's.
And
she says, yeah, the cape and cowl are kind of a giveaway.
That was it. That was all you got. All through that. It was awful. Now, getting back to the organic question, I'm with you on that, MK, because I think the fact that people are saying, oh, it's girl power, or it's trying to shove some sort of politically correct message down your throat, don't even talk now. Sit down. Women are talking.
Oh, my gosh. Can I even tell you? Hey, I have a plug. Y'all get ready with your plug bell.
Okay.
Because upcoming on Scary Mommy is a response to an article that I wrote. ScaryMommy.com. Looking for it because, ding, ding, I didn't get my bell.
You got it.
I got it? Oh, I'm
just
talking too loud.
You're talking too
loud.
You're talking over the bell.
I'm not good at this podcasting business.
Are you woman-splaining me?
I am woman-splaining you. No, I posted an article that I wrote about this, and it was basically Wonder Woman is everything we've ever needed for our girls. Yay.
Yeah, I saw that.
I had about 10 dudes pop in and tell me how that was ridiculous. And so God love
shut
my
shut your pie
boss.
Hole and sit down, man. I'm sorry.
That is the article that's being written, actually, almost word for word.
Shut your pie hole and sit back.
We have tea. We have screenshots. It is going to be an epic takedown of the idiots that try to mansplain.
I can't wait.
But yeah, my problem, it's like, women are powerful creatures. They are fierce and protective. They do all these things. And suddenly, because that is depicted on screen, some men are getting their panties in a wad?
And yet...
I just... No.
No. Hang on. This is the part that bothers me more than...
Oh, as a man?
As a man, yeah. No, you know, okay, so let's... Going back to my earlier chat about Terminator 2, that came out in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Nobody blinked an eye. Nobody blinked an eye.
Well, that's because in the 80s, when you think about it, there was actually a little spurt of female
the power
of
suit.
Power, you know.
Oh, let's go even further. Aliens, anyone?
Yes, aliens.
You've
Ripley.
Never heard anybody go, "Oh, aliens is a feminist blah blah blah." It's like, look, if there's ever a feminist movie of feminist movies where feminists go, "That's a feminist movie," it's freaking Aliens. Because remember, it is.
Now that's a scary mommy right there.
That's a serious scary mommy. Both of them.
You're not lying.
Because because at one and then the director's cut is even better because they put in this whole mother subplot that wasn't there. But there's that scene where, Hicks, he is the trained Marine.
And she tucks him in.
She tucks him in.
Pats him on the head, said, "You just wait here, darling. I'll be back."
Yeah. And he says, "Don't be long, Ellen." And I'm like, holy crap.
I'll be cooking up some pancakes for you when you get back, darling.
Yes, mommy.
And then you see, and that scene still holds up where she is in the elevator shaft, where Ellen Ripley's in the elevator shaft, and she is strapping up, and you're just like, oh man, shit's about to go down.
That's another wonderful thing about Wonder Woman. I love Ripley, but the fact that in Wonder Woman she was allowed to be tough, but she was also liking ice cream,
and she was
excited by babies,
and she was also vulnerable.
Yeah, so
vulnerable.
It was nice to see those two sides.
Yeah, it was great.
You didn't have to, for lack of a better word, castrate her femininity.
No,
you didn't.
In order for her to remain powerful, she actually had very self-actualized agency as far as her sexuality goes for someone who never saw a man before. She was quite prepared for that.
Well, she had read all those 12 volumes.
Yeah.
Apparently. Well, I was dying because she was laying next to him, and that's another one of those moments where I was like, oh, they're about to get it wrong. She's going to be naive. She's going to be ridiculous.
No, she's like,
you know,
no,
she's laying down next to him, and he's like, kind of, what does she, does she know? And she's like, oh, sure, I'm aware.
By
I'm
the way, this
impressed.
Isn't my first kiss. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And, you know, even that scene with between Steve and Diana, that love scene, which quickly faded to black. My thoughts about it were, I mean, there wasn't anything that felt sappy or even romantic about it. You look at
she was just like, Steve, let's go upstairs.
Well, and also for the two, you know, not so much for her, but maybe it was because I was looking at more at Steve. But Steve wasn't like, I'm about to tap this. He's like, this could be my last night on the planet.
I think I want to be with you.
Guys, and this was also some major foreshadow. This is what I took from this whole thing. Are we spoiling?
We're spoiling. No, we're spoiling. We're spoiling.
You know, the whole theme here is she laid this up. It was slam dunk. I don't require men for sexual satisfaction.
Right.
However, I'm going to choose to because I love one. This is the end of the movie. These people do not require me to be there. They're not worth. What is the word? They're not necessarily deserving.
Yes.
But because I love them, I choose to.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, and I felt like it was kind of a similar push and pull there. That's some imagery.
I always felt like each character had their agency, and I never felt like any character was castrated or ripped away of any. I mean, what Steve does at the very end when he said, I mean that was my favorite line in the whole movie, when he says to her, "I'll save the day. You save the world." Mm-hmm. And then he goes off and he does that one-way suicide mission. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, that made, not only did it make perfect sense, that he was terrified. But he's like, it's okay. If I do this, Diana will be okay. Mm-hmm. And it was just a really sincere moment. For a bunch of guys...
Yeah, not
I
too
think,
bad.
I think
would
they
like
did okay.
When they do the sequel, I would like more women in the writing room.
I would like Patty Jenkins to be directing the sequel, but I don't think she is.
So can I ask, is there anything we didn't like?
Ooh.
And that's okay. You can still love a movie and have some things that you don't like.
Yes. The same scene that I joked about her, I mean, they explaining her sexual agency was unnecessary to me. Why? Why do we even have to go into whether a woman I don't know. It's too contrived. It was expected.
You mean the bit where she's talking about the 12 books and the...
Yes. I mean, like, really, as we get together, we're hanging out with a man. Very quickly, we need to discuss whether or not we're sexually interested.
That's true. We're going to have to lie next to each other. Are we going to have sex? Let's discuss that. We've known each other for 30 minutes.
It's time to address this issue.
I mean, there were some...
That was there, obviously, for the audience. Not for the characters.
And there were
so the writing was a little
There were some scenes at the Muscaria that I felt a little. I was like, oh really? Now we're gonna make the penis jokes. What's that? it's my watch. You know, I mean, come on.
Oh, you know what? No, I felt the same way with that scene. I was like, oh come on, going for the obvious. But I guess, you know what, it's almost like the necessary fart joke that makes everybody laugh.
Yeah, everyone's like a little more relaxed.
Pardon the pun, it's the low-hanging fruit.
Well, I'm above. I didn't even realize that was a dick joke until someone pointed it out. Oh, are you average? And he sort of looks down. Well, I'm above average.
But here was my thing. There were some moments near the opening where it felt a little stilted. Mm-hmm. But then I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to apply the same rules that I approach with the political climate of our world to Wonder Woman. Okay, I got one simple question. Is Jesse Eisenberg playing Lex Luthor in this movie? No? Great. I'm good. We're in for the long haul. Go. Anytime I felt bad about it, I was like, hang on a minute.
No, Jesse Eisenberg.
Excuse me. Is Jesse Eisenberg in the house? No? Good. And then
to be fair, the only bit that I started to feel like a speed wobbles was in the end. I felt like they jumped kind of on the CGI bandwagon a little heavily.
Oh, with Ares.
With Ares at the
end. He's the god of war. What are you going to do?
Oh, guys. Ares and the mustache. Like, the dude did not look like...
You know who that was, though, right?
It's Lupin.
It's Lupin.
It's Lupin.
Yes, I know. And I'm just like, Mr. Friendly is not translating for me. He needed to lose the stash. He needed to get some angry teeth. Like something needed to happen.
He needed to hit the gym, do a little CrossFit. I feel like
my husband said the voice change was helpful.
And putting on a giant metal suit.
Yeah.
You know, if you haven't worked out for a while, just put on a giant metal suit with some abs in it already, and you're fine.
I need to start. I'm going to start doing that around town.
Yeah, just walk around town like that. I'm sure it won't attract any attention.
It's going to be hell getting through metal detectors, though. I'll tell you that right now.
She's the god of war, man.
Guys,
can we talk about the fact that she's a freaking? Is she a secretary now? Because I can't with that. Come on.
Well, that was a throwback to the.
That was a throwback to the comic books.
That was a throwback to the comic books, yeah, because Steve Trevor did call her secretary, didn't he?
Yeah,
and she worked as secretary for a while.
And they even, the glasses that they put on her, mm-hmm. those were the same style of glasses she wore for decades as Diana Prince. So yeah, I mean,
she was a secretary for about one hot minute, and then suddenly she's translating Mesopotamian and Babylonian.
Right.
Which again goes to a great line, she's a well-educated secretary. I mean, there were some...
Better educated than you.
Yes, and, I think that's the other thing too.
Pointing out though that women at that time didn't in Britain and America didn't have the right to vote. Of course, in New Zealand they had it for about 20 years.
Yeah, okay.
But the
thing was that when I hear people go, "Was it a perfect movie?" No, I'm like, look, Iron Man was not a perfect movie. And you know what was perfection in the later Iron Man incarnations. The removing of Gwyneth Paltrow. That was the perfection.
She is the worst.
But apart from
and
that.
And her jade eggs.
And her jade eggs.
I was there with the jade eggs and the freaking earthing. Do you know what earthing
is? Yes, walking barefoot on the grass.
You know what I call that? I call that a half marathon, which makes me the earth. I'm the most earthed mother on this planet.
No, you've got to be doing it barefoot,
darling.
You have
to be barefoot, T.
Oh, screw that.
because electromagnetic pulses.
Because.
Reasons. Anyway, we're getting a little off track here.
Yeah, that happens.
I'm with you on the. You know what? We're all digging. You have to dig this hard to find flaws in the movie. The movie is freaking amazing.
I mean, armpit hair. Remember when people come on.
Well, for a start, they don't know their ancient history because there were plenty of ancient peoples who actually used.
This is why I married a librarian.
Who actually did.
What am I missing in the armpit hair? Did I miss some armpit hair?
There was an image of her holding up the tank. And you can see her armpits. And people are like, why isn't her armpits hairy? Her armpits should be hairy. And I'm like,
We're very picky these days.
Yes, we are very picky.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. On the internet, we are very picky and we armchair quarterback.
There is no such thing as a perfect movie.
But I think at the end of the day, the important thing is we were moved. We felt uplifted.
And was Jesse Eisenberg anywhere near this movie?
No, and there was zero Jesse Eisenberg.
There we go. We're good. I mean,
it passed the man test and the woman test with flying colors. Yeah. How challenging is that? You can't ever do that.
And additionally, I mean, I would say
it passed the $400 million mark already.
No kidding.
Hey.
But that's the other thing, too, that I think is sort of the good and the bad right now. I mean, first off, with Man of Steel was not a bad movie. Wasn't a great movie. Wasn't a bad movie. Batman versus Superman was a red hot mess. So the bar wasn't even low. It was buried in the ground.
Yeah.
And Diana dug it out and then threw it up in the air. And then she looks over to the Justice League and go, you're up.
Did y'all see the preview, guys, before the movie?
Of the Justice League?
Yes.
I did not.
No, we did not get that.
We did not get that one.
Oh, I'm sorry for you. I guess we'll have to Google it.
Was it good? Was it uplifting and hopeful?
I've got to tell you, I am going to be quite sad if Ben Affleck ruins the entire thing.
Okay, in defense of Batfleck, I'm going to say this.
For heaven's sake.
In defense of Batfleck, okay, I actually thought he did really well as Batman. The Martha thing could have been handled a lot better. The other thing I really liked about the whole Batman dynamic was putting Jeremy Irons as a cranky pissed off Alfred, who just looks at...
He's headed up to here with Batman's shit.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I do not have time. And hey, you see that empty room over there? Those are the Fs that I have collected over the years.
Yes, you know, the best cast Batman I've ever seen was Lego Batman, and I stand.
Well, you know what? With the modern technology, they can probably put him in there.
But no, I did. I genuinely liked Ben Affleck's Batman. Yeah. But the problem was that he had, and that's the other problem too, is that he had Zack Snyder. Just a quick divert.
Oh my gosh! Sorry, I did this to us.
Zack Snyder does not care. He does not want to make a Superman movie. He doesn't like Superman, but he's jonesing to make a Batman movie. And that moment where the cop, well, first off, when the cop brings his flashlight around and you see Ben. Tucked in the back corner of that.
I was like,
okay, that's pretty effing terrifying, and that's the way we should be approaching Batman.
Yeah.
I did. I enjoyed Ben Affleck's Batman.
Let's face it, we all just want to see Jason Momoa. It's really why.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah. There is that.
You know, I want to see Jason Momoa and Gal Gadot. That's all.
Hook it up.
Gal Gadot. Gadot.
Hey, I'm sure Diana loves seafood.
Yeah.
Anyway. Little sushi.
Okay. So after we've seen the matriarchy destroy and crush the patriarch into the ground, next up, Black Panther.
There you go.
So people can really start to get really angry about that.
Yeah. So but again, I think from what I've heard, Joss Whedon has stepped in, and apparently in light of Wonder Woman's success, they're doing quite a bit of reshooting.
Hopefully putting more Wonder Woman in it.
Yeah. And maybe some more color. Because that was the other thing too I noticed was that yes, the muting of colors was still there in Wonder Woman.
Except in Themyscira, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It wasn't as dramatic. They had multiple colors there.
It was not as dramatic as it's been in Supes and Batman v Supes. Yeah.
I like wartime muting of colors because it brings dreariness to the film.
Yeah, yes. I mean these are places that have been devastated by war for years and years. So.
And that fit with Wonder Woman. It did not fit in Batman versus Superman.
Right.
On one side of the bay is Metropolis, where all the sun shines, and on the other side is is Gotham, where no sun ray dares penetrate.
And in the middle of it all, there's Jesse Eisenberg, who is trying to be Heath Ledger.
All right.
So, wrapping up, because, did we go a long time.
I told you we would go over 30 minutes. I told you.
And it flew by, baby. It flew by.
Yeah.
It did.
So, on a whole... Wonder Woman. Rank it against your next favorite superhero movie.
Ooh. Oh, but it is my favorite superhero movie.
There we go.
I have to agree.
Really? You're going to double down on that?
It was just so refreshing to have all that combination of emotion and action and humor.
I co-sign
100%.
So here we go. I'm going to double down and rank Wonder Woman right next to Captain America.
Oh,
the First Avenger.
Oh, that is true.
I'm with you. Those are my two favorites.
Because
they're so wholesome.
I think a fellow alum and supporter of the Smokey Writers retreat said it best. Her review of Wonder Woman was this: after watching Wonder Woman, I am now longing for more Peggy Carter.
Oh yes,
and that's the thing is that I really believe that part of what makes Captain America even more appealing in the later films is that he is not. You look at him, and he's not complete, and he knows he's not complete because when he was with Peggy, he was complete.
And Peggy.
And Peggy. And.
Now the Captain America Wonder Woman fanfic begins.
Yes.
Marvel crossover we've all been waiting for.
They would make wonderful.
We all need.
They would make a lovely couple.
They would.
And you know what? If anybody deserves her, it's old Cap.
He would treat
her
right.
They're about the same. Well, she's a little older than he is, but that's okay.
Yeah,
that's okay.
I feel like he'd go for an older woman.
Yeah,
he did with Peggy.
Like tea. So
or the French president.
Oh, there we go. Ooh la la. And on that note, Mary Kay, where can people find you again? And do you have any appearances coming up? Anything like that?
Oh, appearances. I'll be appearing at Blog Her in Orlando. As, that will be the 22nd to the 24th of July. So if you're in Orlando for that conference, that's where I'll be. But you can find me on Facebook at MomBabble or MomBabble.com, or I am a regular contributor at ScaryMommy.com.
Great. Ooh. Thanks for being on our podcast. We will let you know when
this
goes live. Yeah, we're probably going to make this just the episode and just go for it.
Yeah, just make it one big honker of an episode.
One huge episode. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, you bet. So until next time, everybody, thanks for joining us. As you know, we are going to, I'm going to be at AwesomeCon this Friday. So come and check us out over at AwesomeCon. And then we've got other events coming.
Motor City SteamCon.
Motor City SteamCon.
We're going to Detroit.
Yep. And we're also going to BlurredCon.
In between there.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we got stuff coming. And keep in touch with us over at theshareddesk.com, tmorris.com,
ejvalentine.com.
And until next time, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the ride.
Catch you later.
Bye.